Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And now, here with today's program is David Holtz.
Hello, we want to welcome you today to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. I am David Holtz, and I'm your host today. What a absolutely interesting time that we live in. We live in the best and we live in the worst of times, all at the same time. And for we who have an understanding that before there is a true shift and transformation, that there's going to be chaos. And we're living in that time of chaos here to hold a space, a heart space, for all of those who are ready to turn toward a path of enlightenment, toward unconditional love and emanating peace. People who are understanding their own inner power to change the destiny of what it means to be a human on this planet. We are so glad to have you today. We're coming live to you today from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're coming today from Unity of Charlotte, and we're so blessed and privileged to have the senior minister right here at Unity of Charlotte, Reverend Nancy Innes, today. Nancy is doing some wonderful, wonderful things as she is helping people to open their hearts and their minds and their consciousness toward becoming more and more involved in changing the course of the way the world is going today. And there's nothing that can do that any more than the wonderful love that has been given to us by our Creator. So we're glad to have Nancy today, and we're going to let Nancy talk to you in just a moment. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Nancy. I've known Nancy for a lot of years. We're very good friends, and we're just amazed to see where we've come from the first time we met, and to see how the world has changed and how much new information there is for us today. Nancy is an RN, or has been an RN actually, and has a master's in science from Northern Illinois University, which I know very well. Nancy was affiliated with and has been with Unity of Charlotte, mostly. I think you've been here in Charlotte for the last 30 years or so as a spiritual teacher and as a leader. And as I said, you are the senior minister here at Unity of Charlotte, which you've been for the last 7 years. Nancy worked with, I believe her specialty was working with diabetes in the time you was an RN, and was able to contribute to that by bringing in a more spiritual element into that particular work that you did with that. And I think that's great. And I think we're all here to add something. Everywhere we go, everything that we are a part of, we're to leave a little seed, a little bit of the spirit into that kind of situation. So Nancy, we're living in what the Chinese say, interesting times. So what is going on in the world, and what can we do? I know you have spent a lot of time in meditation and contemplation to try to find a passion and direction for yourself in what you can do to help to move us on a path toward a way in which we can change the course in which the world is going more toward love and peace. Glad to have you today.
Well, I'm glad to be here, David, and I love to talk about these wonderful things. I love to talk about the times we're living in, and I like to look back and kind of reflect on how I came to this point, because I've always had a vision of a better world that could be better than what it was right now, and that vision got wider and wider as I walked along the spiritual path. So I started out in Unity, and I followed the Unity teachings most of that pathway, adding to things as I went along. But one day at the very beginning, I was sitting out on the beach, and all of a sudden it came to me that we are here to be a new life form of God. And actually that came from Road Less Traveled. I had read it, but I hadn't really thought about it, and all of a sudden it just popped up. And I didn't know what a new life form of God was, but it was such a big message that I've carried that all these days. And I'm always looking for how can I be a new life form of God and bring more of that God spirit in me into the world. So as I followed along on the path, doing my inner work, becoming a better person, living a better life, more spiritual, more centered inside of myself, I met someone that changed the course of direction, and that was Andrew Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a lecture thinking I was going to hear somebody else, and I didn't know Andrew at that time. And his message for the whole weekend was, it's time to take our spirituality out of ourselves and put it to work in the world. And I was thinking, that's the new life form. That's what the new life form does. So I really did get very connected to Andrew and what he was doing and the shadow work that we had to do to find our spirit. And he was here visiting with us many times and did many activities here for us. So I followed that along for a while. And then I realized here we were, a spiritual group, doing this work in the world. And we were just doing the work in the world. We weren't doing it from our heart, which is sacred activism. So that started me sort of on a new path. It went up to 2012. And when we formed the Mayan calendar, and we realized that we were going from an age of change into an age of the spirit of all living things. And then we live in oneness after we find that spirit of all living things, which I knew was the heart and was love. Without love, there can't be oneness, not very much, and peace isn't going to happen either until we get that. So since that time, then I started looking, how do we get this connection? Because the spiritual path I walked on, what we talked about, was the longest journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It only measures 1 foot if you get your ruler out, but it was a journey from the head to the heart. And I didn't know how to get there and how to stay there. But I had all the information I needed. It just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So that really carried me along for a while, looking for a way that we really could get to our heart. And then one day I saw this, it was a quote written by somebody that said, there's only so far you can go on your spiritual path without love.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going into those higher dimensions now, which are love. So then it came to me, I remembered an organization in California doing research on the heart called Heart Math, and they've been doing it since 1990. I've known about them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just hadn't known how to do their work.
Right.
So I began to follow that path for a while, and they've got practices that we can use. And I found my heart, and I found love, and I found a way that I could help people. So I started, I took a course to become a licensed coach, and I've been teaching the classes for a year here and have seen wondrous things happen when people connect to their heart, know how to stay in their heart, know how to open their heart. And that's kind of the path that I've followed that led me to here.
Right.
And the understanding that without love, there's not going to be much, and with love, there'll be everything we ever wanted or dreamed of.
Interesting, the term heart math. You know, you think of the heart and you think of math being in the head, in the mind. So are we bringing together the heart and the mind?
That's it. Spirituality and science coming together. And the idea behind that is our heart has proven to be the largest organ in our body. It has the biggest brain, and it has nerve pathways that go throughout the body to all places. It is much, much stronger than our head, like 40 times stronger than our head, and it has a radiating field that goes out forever where our head has a little close radiating field. So what the idea is to go to our heart, and our head then surrenders to our heart, and the heart empowers our head. So our head work now is not just thinking about things, but it's thinking with our heart.
Okay.
And thinking the thoughts of love and caring and compassion. So the heart and the head work together. And the math is a science part of it. Math is a science.
Right.
Heart math is a science. They're not just saying, go do this. They're saying, hey, these are the experiences we've had and the experiments and the research that we have done. They're in colleges. I heard yesterday there's a college course somewhere in Athens, Georgia, called Heart Math. They're in the hospitals teaching caregivers how to stay in their heart and give from their heart and not burn out. How to manage stress, how to become resilient in life, and then how to find your heart and your spiritual connection.
I had read not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago, I had a wonderful book that said that science had found that there are 60% of the same neurons energetically in the etheric part of the heart that's in the brain. Mm-hmm. And they're saying for the first time that a part of the brain is now out of the head and into the heart. And I thought that was so exciting to me, of the thought that, you know, we have the reptilian, we have the mammalian, we mm-hmm. have the frontal cortex, and we've just, I would imagine 100% of the time, if you'd ask somebody to point to their mind, they would point to their head.
Right. Yes.
It's interesting to see somebody who would point to their heart.
Right. Yeah.
Do you see a difference in the brain and the mind?
You know, those are terms that kind of get mixed up, but the mind usually is thought of as the emotions and the thoughts. Mm-hmm. The whole of who we are, kind of like the soul, is the mind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then we have our brain and our head and our brain and our heart. We just want the heart brain to lead and the head to follow.
Right.
Because in our head is our judgments and our criticism and our complaining and all our rigid habits that have to be done, all our expectations of how it should be. We want to infuse those with the love and the wisdom of our heart. And to make them so that they are one in us.
That's an important thing I think that we need to emphasize is the difference in knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, the brain can have all the knowledge in the world. We can read, download all kinds of data and information. But if we don't have the wisdom to do that. So I see knowledge more as the masculine male side. Mm-hmm. And I see the wisdom as more of the feminine side. And when those two couple, we call it coupling
right,
in
right.
some energetics, coupling the heart and the mind, mm-hmm. the brain together, then we can have those mystical moments of producing new ideas to evolve us.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's what we need. We need, one thing that I've tried to do is put out the call to encourage people for entrepreneurship. I think there's not a greater time that we have right now for people who are unhappy working on secular jobs and whatever, to begin to come together and collectively and come up with these great ideas of what we can do to not only make a living for ourselves, but also to help things to heal and transform and change too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great thing. You know, talking about this, I just realized this is not a new subject at all, but it feels new.
Yeah.
Like there's a new energy into mm-hmm. it of some
yeah.
kind.
I think it's a new urgency. We're getting the idea here. If we don't start doing something together, that we might be going down a path we don't want to go on.
Yeah.
I think over the year that I've really seriously been working with these ideas, what has amazed me most is the wisdom of our heart and how the wisdom of our heart holds the wisdom for us. But when we get in a circle and we share this wisdom with each other, our heart voice, what our heart voice has said, and what it has led us and what has happened, that we're all getting faith in love and in our heart. So it's not just the only thing we need is love anymore, or love's a good idea, but it's misunderstood. And it's not that. We're actually getting the experience of love and what love is and what love can do when you let it do it.
Yes. Just imagine how the world could change when enough people are coming from more a wisdom of the heart mm-hmm. about just the mundane, mm-hmm. The difference in choosing an occupation, going into a relationship or a new marriage of some kind, mm-hmm. or moving to a different location, how different it would be for the rationalization of the brain versus the heart, which would guide us and lead us always for an alignment with our spiritual purpose.
Right.
And if enough of us could do that, if we could reach a critical mass,
yeah.
then we really could reverberate this into all over the planet.
I think we're finally getting that idea. We're just like on the tip of the iceberg. But I believe the idea is coming in fast now and people are getting it. We have a Creating Heaven on Earth project that's calling people to it. We have Humanity's Team for Oneness that are few years are showing us what it's like to live in love and in oneness and how to be that way. And we're having people that are telling us about subtle activism. That's the collective where we all come together with the heart energy and how it changes the world just by being together this peace initiative where people sit and pray for peace. And then what happens as a result, where they've done that scientific experiment on people's meditation, and I think we're getting it that it's going to come through the collective. Yeah. It's going to come through us coming together. So we got a lot of work to do to kind of realize that our differences are important, but coming right. together is most important.
Well, you know, the teacher, Jesus, said it was important for two or three together.
Yeah.
Together. There's something there that tells us there's something greater than the sum of its parts.
Right.
I heard about this, what you're talking about a little bit, about 20 years ago when I was introduced to someone named Barbara Marks Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she was at that time doing her best to organize small groups of people to come together and not just come out of separation of the individual, say for an idea, but it had to be a group idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was the heart, the collective heart, that mm-hmm. would produce and birth the idea, and it'd be something like, because I was in some of those, and when it would happen, it would be like, well, I would have never thought of that, and somebody mm-hmm. else would say, well, I never thought of that. So it showed me that something was happening by the people being together collectively mm-hmm. than just individually going within all the time.
Right. Yeah.
So we kind of, are coming out of an old paradigm.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that old paradigms don't serve us, but it means there are new paradigms.
Oh, yeah.
And the old paradigm of just going within ourselves because we individually want peace and we individually mm-hmm. want health mm-hmm. is kind of over. I think it's now, if all of us don't make it, none of us are going to make it.
That's right. I do too.
We're all connected. Mm-hmm. We're just all connected up in some way.
Yeah. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. said.
Yeah.
He said we have to learn how to get along as brothers and sisters or perish together as fools.
Yes.
Yeah, that guides me a lot. I think about that, and I'd rather be a brother and sister than a fool in this times we're living in.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think about Barbara Marks Hubbard, and she was kind of, as I see at the start of all this, that got things going. And I was in a study group, and every Tuesday morning we met, and she talked to us on the phone. She was friends with one of the people there, and I didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess we all have to find our own path to where we are today.
Yeah, she certainly changed my direction. In fact, I was here in Charlotte speaking, and somebody invited me over for lunch. Uh-huh. And had at that time, a video of her, and I was just taken and immediately went back home to where I lived and called her the next morning, and she answered the phone and was so cordial and invited me to meet her in Chicago at the World Conference meeting and became a speaker for us, and I mm. just so appreciate the fact that she's a true visionary.
She is.
She is a visionary. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's interesting about her work is that she, and being coming from an agnostic Jewish background, and this is a mm-hmm. big leap, mm-hmm. but she moved into decoding the New Testament as mm-hmm. the evolution of humanity.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah,
she wrote a book. I have a book right here.
Oh, my goodness.
On that whole thing where she mm-hmm. took all the verses and decoded of how Jesus represented us moving from the mammalian stage into the next co-creative new human.
Wow.
Now that's exciting.
That is exciting. I've gone back and read her books now from this perspective, and I think, wow, she was really up there with the times and really leading us
yes.
at that time. Isn't that something?
Jean Houston's another one that influenced mm-hmm. me also, who's a powerful visionary for this whole idea. Now I've seen it grow. I've seen it grow, mm-hmm. this whole new coming together of a collective idea of the new human. So a lot of people probably don't understand the new human. And the only way that I can explain it is from looking at it first from a natural point of view, that humans, the humans we have today on the planet, were mm-hmm. not the humans we had thousands of years ago, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. we've seen their in the museums, we've seen how they how they looked and whatever, and they don't look like us.
Yeah.
So we should not think that we have reached the limit as to what human beings are evolving to be. I think we're somewhere been stuck mm-hmm. in what I call an adolescent state.
Yes.
You know, developing our mm-hmm. own egos, our own identities. It's mm-hmm. all been about me, 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 me. And I really think all this is going on in the world, if there's a positive spiritual point of it, it is driving us together
mm-hmm.
where the planet has gotten so small now through technology,
yeah.
through the computer, through the mass media, that we see that people aren't near as far away. Right. I grew up in an America that America was far away from mm-hmm. other things that went on in the world. It had nothing to do with me whatsoever. I can't say that today.
No, not anymore. That's true.
Yeah.
And I kind of see the new human as human form, like we are evolving into, and they say we're going to look a lot different pretty soon. A human being in that form with the expression of the divine energy, the love and the peace and the joy expressing through them mm-hmm. and all they do and all they say, and just sitting in that place and radiating that energy out. That's where I see the change come. I see that as our sacred purpose. It's what started me on my journey. It's what called me on my journey. But I feel in my heart now that's our sacred purpose for all of us, to become more and more of that divine that's in us, bring more and more into the world through our thoughts and our talking and our action, and then to become that.
Right.
So there's nothing separating us. We'll be one.
Okay. Well, this is great. We're going to break here for a little bit, and we'll be right back with you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this great vision for the new human. And to you that are listening to us, it may not be by accident you're listening to this podcast today. Maybe this is a way in which life is telling you that we need to get involved, all of us, in this great, great love that is pouring through us as we open our hearts. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
And welcome back to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. I'm David Holtz, and your host for today. And we're here with Reverend Nancy Innes, Senior Minister here at Unity of Charlotte. And we've been talking a lot about the heart. We've been talking about how that we can change the whole course of the human story by more and more of us learning how to come from the heart and emanating out of the heart. That is the language of the heart. You know, the language of my head is concepts, constructs, dogma, doctrine, belief systems. But the heart just puts out what that talks about. People don't get that sometimes when I say mm-hmm. it. But the brain thinks about love, but the heart is where love comes from.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's great. I have a great quote I just got before we went on today, and I wanted to read it. It's really good. It says, I think a spiritual journey is not so much a journey of discovery. It is a journey of recovery. It is a journey of uncovering your own inner nature. It's always been there. That's really wonderful to think that the thing we're searching for that we think we don't have already lives and dwells within us. Mm-hmm. And I do see the heart as the open portal to mm-hmm. the inner self, mm-hmm. to the authentic mm-hmm. self within us. So you're a minister here at Unity. You've been the senior minister for 7 years, but I know you've been involved for a lot more years than that in Unity. So we may have some listeners that don't know about Unity. A lot of people confuse us with Unitarian, mm-hmm. Which is a wonderful organization out there, but we're different than that. So why don't you share just a little bit with our listeners about Unity and what it is?
Okay. Unity started at the turn of the century. It was like new ideas were coming in and new experiences, just like they are now. And it had two co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And Myrtle Fillmore had a discovery that started this whole thing. And it's this discovery that we're discovering today and realizing it's really our discovery, like she said we should do. But anyway, she healed a chronic disease by talking in loving ways to her body and making that something she did every day for a couple of years. And all of a sudden, her tuberculosis is what the disease was. It went away. And her heart opened, and people were flocking to her for healing. So it had a wonderful start, and it has the foundation of the New Thought movement, because that was new at the time they came in. We were getting this idea that our thoughts had creative power and we could use our thoughts to create things in our life. And now that's moving again, and I call it the New Heart Movement, because we're realizing that our thoughts really infused with love are what are attractive power. So it has a basis of God's goodness and God's love and God's caring for us. But it doesn't set out any part of life. It doesn't cause us to think that everything's fine and everything's good, and if it's not good, there's something wrong with us. It really embraces it all, and it brings it all together in a wonderful healing way. Prayer is the foundation of unity, and I'm seeing the collective radiation or emanation of energy as being our prayer now, that we can send to people without asking for anything or doing anything, just send that energy to them, knowing that the energy that is God knows what to do.
Well, of course, I'm here at Unity, too, and I've been attracted to Unity for over 25 years or more. And the thing about Unity that is so wonderful is how inclusive it is and how it opens up to all people and sees all people as the children of God, no matter what. And that's kind of challenging for people who have come from the idea of the doctrine of original sin and whatever. And I think that's one of the great contributions that Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and Ernest Holmes, and there was others that was also involved at that same time. It's kind of interesting time, must have been, that all these people begin to move into this idea of a new thought, a newer way at looking at old literalist tradition. So Unity is very open to all people, and I certainly love that and come from that position. I've noticed that the statistics are showing more and more and more people are really choosing to move away or not go to more organized type of religions. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's a bad or good thing. I think it's just a part of the shift that is happening, that people are finding a spirituality and a belief in God outside of organized religion, especially the younger generation that's happening. So do you find that also?
Oh, yes, I do. That's happening in our world. And it's growing. The movement towards stepping away is growing.
What do you think is the difference in, say, a religion and someone who says, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual? I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. And I think a religion has a doctrine. This is what we do, and this is how we follow it. And if you're here, you do what you say you'll do. It puts a lot of fear sometimes in people, too, about going to heaven after you die. Where Unity believes that heaven is right here on this earth, and we create it or don't create it, but we have the choice. Mm-hmm. I think that, too, is part of it. What I see happening with spirituality, it's more on the spirit and the flow of the spirit and finding our own way. It's probably harder than somebody telling you what to do and how to believe. But we find our own way, walk our own path, believing that each of us has a piece of the God energy. The more we bring together, the more of God comes alive in our world.
Yes.
And that kind of goes with a collective, too. But what I see happening, I'm holding this vision, as religion and spirituality and the people who would choose not to have either will come together in the name of love. There won't be this God is this way and this God is this way and I believe in God this way. And if you don't believe in it, we separate. And I believe we're all going to come together in the power of love.
Yeah, it's kind of like what happened on 9/11. I mean, it's too bad that what joins us are the times of tragedy.
Right.
I happen to remember when Kennedy was assassinated and exactly where I was. I mean, it's so vivid in my mind, exactly that moment that all that took place and, yeah. and the world changed. And everybody at that, for a while, forgot. They forgot mm-hmm. their differences. Yeah. They forgot yeah. the difference in race, religion, mm-hmm. politics.
Yeah.
And if just think if that could happen because Whoa. Of the immersion of love so being prevalent and overflowing from the mm-hmm. collective heart
yeah.
of people, and people just melted. My vision is just to see people setting down their weapons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the overwhelming love that moved into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so powerful to realize that we can do this because of understanding that things are so connected. Religion's an interesting word. I kind of looked it up because I was raised a lot in traditional religion. And I wonder, where do you get this word? It's in the Bible only about two or three times. And it has in front of it pure religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the word pure there mm-hmm. means transparent.
Mm, right.
Think of a transparent religion in which people do not see our dogma, our doctrine, our differences, but we look past kind of this garment we wear of religion mm-hmm. and we see the authenticity of each other and find out, you know what? You're not different than I am.
Mm-hmm.
You are just exactly, we're one and the same thing. And that's spirituality to me.
Right.
As long as we have religion, we're going to have debate over doctrine, over interpretation. Mm-hmm. Think of how many people get up and preach out of the same Bible that believe totally different out of that Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is the ability to look past that. And I think that's what the Fillmores and others yeah. gave us, was this ability to see that we had to go past the world of appearance, mm-hmm. of symbolism, and to see exactly what is the inner meaning that connects us.
Mm-hmm.
Because the letter seems to separate us.
Right.
Yeah.
And we even separate ourselves, focusing only on the inner or only on the outer, and not realizing that the inner and the outer go together. And one enhances the other, and one helps the other. And we are here to share love, and we're here to receive love.
Yeah.
As that starts, and the pressure builds of that, and it starts growing and growing.
Yeah. There's a quote supposedly by Jesus, I don't know, in the new Gospels that have been found, the Nag Mahanti Gospels that were pre-3rd century.
Oh, wow.
But it has him quoting in there that when the outer becomes the inner and the inner becomes the outer,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then we shall behold the kingdom of heaven. And that's my desire, to see that veil between this and that. I hear a lot of... even in New Thought, I still hear people coming from a lack mentality
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because we believe we're broken and we need to get fixed. We believe that we lack in finance or something and we need to get. And I don't see it that way. I think that everything that ever could be already exists in creation. I celebrate creation. I think creation was a successful thing. And there's a wonderful scripture in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter and the 9th verse, that says, anything that was, is, and anything that shall be, is now.
Wow.
That covers the past,
yeah.
future, and present, all. So that means anything that could be in any one of those time frames already exists. And I see this, the new thought mm-hmm. that is coming to us in something that science is calling vertical time.
Mm-hmm.
So we
mm-hmm.
thought all this time that time ran forward and backward, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It also runs vertically,
yeah.
which you
mm-hmm.
see in the symbol of the cross.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
if you look at the cross,
cross,
you look mm-hmm. at a point in which you can move off the linear into the thing. So we're seeing a great marriage between science and spirituality.
Oh, most definitely we are. They are coming together in beautiful ways that we probably couldn't have imagined,
yeah.
but they're not separate. And we lived in that separation for a lot of years because of some of the early scientific studies.
Yes.
But that's over now. Yeah. They come together, they flow together. And if we let everything come together and be in oneness,
right.
that's how we'll come.
I know Einstein, a famous quote of his is, science without religion is blind, and religion without spirituality is deaf.
Right.
So there is a great coming together of that. And I really think that those who are New Thought in this community are those that are truly practicing this coming together. You know, we have a lot of things that goes on in this church. It's a very active church. Mm-hmm. And we have classes going on and everything. You have heart math going on. Right now I have quantum jumping going on, which is a lot of spirituality based on quantum physics. When I think of the time maybe that the Fillmores and others were here and they were teaching that, they didn't have near the science we have to prove these things. I mean, even the thoughts changes things. That was still pretty much by faith that people accepted that until it became demonstrated. But now we have proof of these things. There's science proof. I was just Sunday night, I love 60 Minutes. Yeah, I think it's a very valid news that comes on, but they were talking about what they call dark matter, that dark matter may mean that there's other dimensions. That was fantastic. I thought that is breakthrough.
There's so much that we have yet to understand or to learn or to know about or to have happen. We're just sitting here right here on the edge kind of waiting to take that jump.
Yes.
Into the unknown.
Into the unknown and the uncharted territory.
The uncharted, I heard somebody say it this way. We're like the Wright brothers. We're trying to get our first plane off the ground, and space stations and jet planes are just ahead.
Exactly. I like that. I like that. You think of all the people that we look back through history and time and see all the great things they did. We don't see the process that they went through, the times they were wrong, the times that didn't work, the times that people didn't understand them, but how they persevered to finally have that moment. Just that moment. And that's all we need.
That's all
is
we need.
Just that sacred moment in which something comes together that is going to affect everything that we know on this planet.
Like the 100th monkey.
Yes.
And we'll be on the other island washing our coconuts and not knowing what we're doing.
And why we're doing it.
Or how we're doing it.
Yeah. We're just doing it. That is truly spirituality, isn't it? I mean, it's really not the reasoning of the brain all the time to understand. I get a little frustrated sometimes that we attract people sometimes to our classes and whatever who wants the detail mentally of everything. And I don't think it's there sometimes in the brain. I think it's in the knowing of the heart. Sometimes I just know something. Like if I go over here and turn these lights on, I just know they're going to come on, but I don't really want to study electricity.
No.
I don't want to understand what makes electricity be electricity. I just want to know what to do to get light into this room. And that it'll work.
I think a lot of times we go to the head to escape, too. The heart's a more vulnerable place, a more open place, a place of expansion. And we can be pretty safe in our head with our expectations and our judgments. And we can be right. Egos love to be right.
Yes.
Know it all and know better than other people. It's, I think it's an escape route.
I do, too.
From taking that journey.
I think people feel more in control. In their head. And because the heart, you know, we hear things about the heart, like, don't break my heart. My heart is wounded and whatever. And we realize that it is a risk. It is a vulnerability to open that that into ourselves.
Right. And I, too, as it breaks open, there's more of the heart revealed to us. But it's that heartbreak. We probably all had heartbreak at some time in our life. The people we've lost or pets we've lost or something that's happened in our life, we've all had our heart broken. And we just don't want the pain. And I think part of the society we live in really does numb out the pain. Don't feel too bad. Try to be happy all the time. And it's keeping us from these deeper parts of life that'll call us forward.
Oh, I think that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because I, too, think we can't skip over into all this bliss and happiness that everybody's trying to attain. Now, you can euphorically get it. You know, I mean, there's different ways of euphorically for a few minutes, whether it's food or sex or even a religion. A religion can bring you there. You know, one of the great books that was a help to me was Father Leo Booth, who wrote When God Becomes a Drug. I thought every recovering person of some exclusive religion ought to read that book because it's hard to sometimes get let go of childhood things like that.
It really is.
And, it's hard. But I just think it's so interesting that we are living in this time. I don't feel it's by accident that there are people on the planet at this time. I just think they need to get the clarion call. That's why I'm doing these podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, I love doing what I do here and speaking. I love the classes, but I reach just so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But to think now of using technology for a possible way to put out that call to mm-hmm. the light workers to step up and use the word urgency earlier. This is an urgent mm-hmm. time, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And the leaders have to be brave and follow their heart.
All right. Well, it's time for another break from our sponsor, Soma Energetics, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Hulse.
We've been talking about spirituality. I think that's mainly what we're talking about. We're talking about the heart. We've talked about many wonderful things. And maybe you're listening to us today and you're realizing you've spent a lot of time in your head trying to figure it out mentally. And it just sometimes doesn't get you anywhere. And maybe it is time for you to consider how to use meditation and contemplation to move into your heart space. Now, Nancy, can people check a little more about heart math and other ways that they can learn? I know they all can't be here in your classes at Unity. So how can other people find out about how to find ways that are taught?
Probably,
is there a website?
There's a website, and it's heartmath.org
mm-hmm.
That you can find out all the things about HeartMath and the wonderful research they've done and some of the programs they have and some of the equipment they have. When the head and the heart are working together and the heart's leading the head, it's a word they use is coherence. We mm-hmm. come into coherence or oneness or connection inside of ourselves. And it's kind of a oneness that we feel inside of ourselves. And they have ways you can actually test that coherence. But the best way, if you would like to be coherent, would be just to breathe in and out of your heart space and feel that love and that care and that compassion, appreciation. Just pick a heart feeling and feel it. And you're there.
Yeah.
The journey is very simple and it goes very quick. 2 minutes and 2 seconds and you're in your heart.
I think a lot of people have struggled with this idea of meditation in a sense of spending too much of their time trying to steal their brain. I think the brain does what it does, and that's to chemically fire. Stanford University says 60,000 times a day. That's how many times that you actually have a chemical thought, consciously or unconsciously, within you. That's a busy, busy brain. Some can't even turn it off at night. It's constantly going. But I really think that the people that are on that path to try to figure it out on a mental level will come up short.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can learn to let the brain do what it does and just think and learn how to drop into the heart and not spend so much time trying to make the brain. Because I think the more that you're in the heart, maybe the softer the brain will
mm-hmm.
become.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that what will happen eventually, there'll be a balance there coming together
mm-hmm.
In the heart area.
Yeah. It's almost instantaneous. You're mm-hmm. no longer in your head, you're in your heart. And if any of the thoughts come in, you just kind of let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in your heart as long as you can. But I think the big thing here for us is learning how to feel our heart feelings. We have emotions, and we all know our emotions, like anger and grief and sadness and guilt. But our heart feelings are feelings that are aspects of love.
Yeah.
Spending more time feeling appreciation, feeling caring, feeling compassion. And then from that, we're motivated to act.
Yeah.
But settling in our heart and learning how to stay there and hold those feelings, mm-hmm. I think, is a big part of our journey right now.
I was just thinking about, you know, I could choose to turn on one of my channels on my television and see all the war and the going on and horrible things, actually, they show. And feel very angry about that and upset, and I could say why, because the brain always is why is this happening? And or what if I decided to turn that off, and if I had a pet, for instance, and I brought my pet and put it on my lap, or even a picture of a cute kitten or something like that, I'd find out that I don't feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
As when I was looking at all the war and all of that, that I'm in a different place in myself, and I'm thinking that, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to give an example for people that you can simply do things like that to get to your heart.
To your heart. Remember what it felt like, a time that you really, really loved someone,
yeah.
And sometimes when someone loved and cared for you. And I think the easiest way is just to realize how blessed we are. And to name everything you appreciate in your life. We take so much for granted, but stay in that place of appreciating life and everything in it, every moment of the day, and we're in our heart. It's that easy and probably that difficult. But I'd like to add something to what you said, David. Mm-hmm. You said, you know, you watched all the horror on TV, and then you found a way to find that love in your pet, and then turn the TV back on and send that love into that situation.
Oh. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. But don't sit there and let that come in as a negative force field on you.
Right.
Get in your heart and send the love out
right.
to make the change.
I have found myself doing that at times, watching something that's not pleasant to watch, and trying to send love and mm-hmm. life into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an inner mechanism of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit in us, is to do that.
Oh, I do too.
In the midst of it.
And that's what's going to change things. More and more people adding that love to this energy field we live in together.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think of the work you're doing, too, with sound and how we're beginning to look at ourselves as vibration and frequency and how we act, where frequency does that come from. And it's kind of teaching us about the dimensions that we're going through right now.
Yes, I think that's the direction. I call it the curve.
Mm-hmm.
I call the fact that we've been in this linear time-space called third dimension. Now, I added fourth dimension as time because I took it from Einstein. There's many ways of naming these things differently. At one time, I taught fourth dimension as a higher dimension than third dimension. So it can be either way. But we know we live in this linear time-space. But actually, it seems like something is curving.
Mm-hmm.
When I do energy work and I do vibrational with tuning forks, or I hear bowls, like a Tibetan bowl and things, mm-hmm. I feel a curve. And I thought about that, and I was reading where Einstein says that everything out there curves, like we have a round moon, we have a round planet, all because of mass. The density of mass eventually causes something to curve. In other words, it doesn't just go on and on and on and on and on, but at a point of density, it curves because it follows a pattern, an energy pattern of the universe called torsion energy.
Mm-hmm.
Torsion energy means something curves to spiral.
And it
spirals, and it doesn't spiral at random, but it spirals based upon sacred geometry of the golden mean ratio or the Fibonacci series.
Mm-hmm.
And these are new things that people, but they're hearing more and more of these things because that's the math.
Mm-hmm.
That's the math. Math is the language of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not the way veins are in a leaf, the way our bodies are put together, all fall, even the fetus coming out and forming itself follows the Fibonacci. Now, the easiest way to understand that is when you pick up a shell at the beach and you see a conscious shell and you see how it's formed. That is the Fibonacci. It's nature, the way nature follows it. And, you know, I think we've gotten out of alignment. I think we need a great energetic adjustment. to realign align ourselves. And that's something that I think is tremendously important to that. So if we're living in this curve, it's a time of yielding, of willingness mm-hmm. to be vulnerable.
Right.
I think we got to be vulnerable. I mm-hmm. think we got to trust.
Yeah. We have to soften up and loosen up.
We do have to soften up.
Yes.
Yeah. Because uh-huh. a lot of people are kind of hard-hearted in a sense because they've been hurt.
Sure. And they close their heart down. They don't open it to anybody, not even a pet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they're trying to keep out the bad, but they're keeping out the good at the same time.
At the same time, and they're accentuating the bad by yeah. closing their heart because it all gets bottled up in there and in the energy field. That's the vibration you're putting out.
Yes.
We're each responsible, I think, for what we put out into the field, wherever we are, what we're doing. We're either putting out good things for everybody or things that'll hurt people,
yeah.
like negative energy.
I think one of the great illusions is, okay, we're sitting here talking. You're over there, and I'm over here as a body, but actually we're in an energy field.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You know, our hearts are, mm-hmm. The last I'd heard about heart math, this is years ago, but they had measured it 8 feet, but they're saying it's probably bigger than that. But that was the science.
Yeah.
Is that become
takes
more?
Takes us to the edge of the universal field,
yeah.
and then away we go.
Yeah.
We're all in this big field together.
We are.
And if we would all put out heart energy all the time, eventually that would be how we'd live. It would lift it up.
I use sometimes the illustration of we're like fish in a bowl of water who don't know it, and we're out in there looking, where's the water?
Yeah.
I'm going to go find the water.
Yes, right.
And I feel like we think we're in this mm-hmm. empty space, but we're actually in this field of energy, and that could be God.
Oh, yes.
God could be
yeah.
the field of all possibility.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we look separate. You and I look separate sitting across here from mm-hmm. each other, but like you said, we're all connected.
That's the great Maya, the great illusion that the Eastern people have been talking about for 5,000 years that we didn't get over here. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no way. I'm here and you're there.
Yes, right, right.
So there's something new in quantum physics that's really fascinating to me called, it's proving that two things can occupy the same space. Now, that's changing everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So at some point, there's no here or there or me or you, but we're all in a unified field. Experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we can do work like heart math and what you're doing and not be even confined to a location.
Right. Yeah. Not anymore.
I think it's really moving mm-hmm. into the collective heart of the planet.
Yeah. I do too.
And I think that's the great work
yeah,
of spirituality.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes beyond the boundaries that have been drawn for us.
Right. So what do you think that we can do, David? But one little thing maybe that each of us could do every day that would make a difference in our world.
Well, I think get the word out there
mm-hmm.
that there is a different way to live your life, that you can make a different choice, that you're not stuck,
mm-hmm.
that things like DNA are not set in order and stone, that everything is pliable and changeable. In that I find hope.
Yeah.
And I think people feel stuck. They think this is the way it's just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's not. We can have a turn, a curve on that pathway. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, I think it's doing what we're doing right here.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to put our voice out and put these ideas out to people who have an ear and a heart to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it resonates with them and they tell somebody.
Right.
And maybe they'll start a podcast, or maybe they'll get on their Facebook today and say, I heard this really cool conversation between these two people today, and I want to tell you about it, and they'll tell somebody
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not turning the light on for ourselves, but it's teaching everybody else to turn the light on.
Yeah. A lot of educating to do.
All right. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being here today. I've so enjoyed having you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, mm-hmm. and I so bless and appreciate the work that you are doing and the passion that you have to carry you forward. We want to thank all of you who have joined us today on our podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Again, you can find our website at www.somaenergetics, that's one word, somaenergetics.com. And remember to tell your friends. We also will be on Saturday, this Saturday at 7 o'clock. And we will be doing some lectures from the past that I have taped that I felt was more for this time rather than the time they happened. So tune in bbsradio.com/take another look with David. And I think it's time, Nancy, that we stop and take another look. Thank you for joining us. Until next time.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.